4CF Mobile.
Give me a minute. Ain't one around this morning. I know it's kind of early. Your nose gets all messed up, then you can't breathe, and it makes it hard.
I know growing up, my dad, he used to take, like, sinus spray stuff. You know, you eventually get addicted to it. You have to have it just to be able to breathe. I remember he did that for a long, long time. But anytime you got sinus, you know, anytime you can't breathe at night, it makes it even worse. Yeah, Friday. wasn't sure if I could make that repeater off of my infed halfway wire antenna, but if I ever hear it again, I might try it.
Go get it.
Yeah, because it would be vertically polarized, wouldn't it?
Well, because remember, when you use a vertical hold on horizontal, you get about 30 dB difference down as you change polarization. So that's why you got to watch it.
About that? Man, I don't know. I'd have to set something up for that.
It's not that hard to do. I mean, it's not a big deal. I mean, you know, but you got to think, well, just like me, look at it. If I hold this handy talkie just a little bit off, just a little bit, you'll lose me altogether.
I didn't even think about that. If you wouldn't have mentioned that, I'd have never even thought about it. Because I'm sure if it's, you know, like I said, most mobile, or not mobile, but repeater stations or vertical antennas, that not even crossed my mind.
Plus, if you're in a mobile, it's kind of hard, you'd have to aim the car.
Yes. I mean, it definitely makes sense.
I pulled in a car one time at 2 meters just playing with it. And we aimed it towards the repeater gun. What in the world are you doing? Oh, we just aimed the car the right way.
That's crazy. Yeah, it would be nice. I was scrolling the bands last night because one of the radios I got cut 2 meter single side band. But I don't know that ever gets any use. And even around here, I don't think it'd be a whole lot.
Polarization, and I've been on 2 meter sideband a couple times.
That would make me a little small 2 meter dipole. But I just wondered how much use they got.
So quite a bit. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
Well, then give me another project.
This project that we never get around to doing, you know. I started looking around here, I got a hundred of them laying all over the place.
I gotta, you know, there's always things you want to try to tinker with or play around and try out and whatnot. So, but I guess that's the fun of it. If you do get around to it, at least you got something to do.
You know, it's kind of hard. You kind of. I mean, I've got to get some things done. Got to get back on here. I got to get some help. I think we're gonna put my amateur station down in the shop. So it's easier for me now to walk down the shop when I got to get on the air. And I'll stick another antenna for 2 meters up here.
Now, most of my stuff's all in the house, so I usually don't have to leave, but, you know, then I got to worry about where I do it at. You know, the wife kind of frowns at me when I start soldering some cable on her tablecloth in the kitchen.
So what I did with mine was I took an old piece of tile, moved some tile on a little plate, you know, regular floor tile, and just stuck it on top of the table and solder on that, you know, no problem. It doesn't hurt nothing. It never sticks, it doesn't get hot, doesn't hurt anything.
I mean, like a little decent soldering station with the, you know, the little grips and whatnot on it. I've seen some. I've got one on my Amazon wish list. I just hadn't really done it yet, so.
Yeah, I've burned my finger solder stuff so many times. It's ridiculous.
I've done that a time or two. You think you're being careful, and then it gets you.
But see, it's one thing. When you can, it's another.
Make it more challenging.
Your finger real fast, and stick it at the end of the solder gun, guide it real fast. And you bark your finger a little bit, and you try to line it up.
I guess you can do it that way.
Fingers really darn tight, I can't feel nothing no more. Made with hammers all the time, trying to work on stuff with hammers. And then you're trying to weld something, that turns into a singed finger. You know, it always ends up being something. The guy, matter of fact, if you look at Tolfin, I don't know if he's going here or not. He's up in Connecticut, and I think it's called K1PXE. His name is Pete. He does a lot of boom bounce. He built a 1200 megahertz linear amplifier with tubes. I lifted the wiring was 10 feet on that. He said he did that whole amplifier by himself. He said it took him a year to do it.
project.
Wiring 10 each.
You don't take on anything like that.
You have to be careful because you're working with real high voltage, so you got to be really careful.
I think Dave Kassler's his name. I was watching this video from him a day or two ago, and he was talking about whether people needed amps or not, and he was giving reasons for it. And that's exactly what he was talking about. You get into some that need 240, and you start getting in really high voltages that can kill you.
What people don't realize is, you know, if you build an amplifier about five, you know, you've got to put in, they're only about 50% efficient, so you got to put 2,000 watts in to get 1,000 out, so, you know, you start playing with it, and you get the kind of power, you got to get the voltage higher, so you're running 4 kilovolts, that's probably about an amp, you know, and those kind of voltages are kind of dangerous.
Like once you start getting up in, I think it was 50 volts DC, then you start getting into, you know, dangerous electrical territory, and then you've got some of those amps that are running even more than that.
You know, high voltage is dangerous stuff, and even 115 volts, 20 milliamps at 115 volts can kill you.
If it travels through the heart or something like that, it'll disrupt the electrical signal there. I can see that.
I was at my house. I didn't turn the breaker off. I thought I was wiring it. And not some idiot twisted so darn tight. I went on through the stupid thing and I went across both with both hands. I'll tell you what, it took me. I was on the floor for 20 minutes. My pulse finally came around. I was freaking out.
KN4TFW.
That was rough. I bet she was freaking out. Good morning, Kent.
Good morning.
Morning, Kent.
Doing good. Just sitting here waiting to defrost a little bit. It says 24 degrees.
20-something in my house, 26, 28, something like that. Yeah, I remember trying to run out there this morning and cut the truck off.
I'm going to jump out of here. I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for letting me in. Yeah, for that clear. Hope we lose these people.
7-3, this has been good talking to you this morning. Hopefully we'll catch you on another morning. KO4CEN.
7-3, Al. We'll catch you later and maybe tomorrow. KN4TFW.
More like we might get some snow.
I saw that this morning. We got to keep our fingers crossed.
I live up in Hemet on the northern part of Spartanburg, and they were saying, like, just tonight you might get upwards of an inch, but then tomorrow it's going to change over to rain.
In news this morning, they were calling Gaffney 2.5 inches.
But if it happens tomorrow, I got to get out and drive in it, but I guess that is what it is.
And maybe it won't be too bad in the morning, and it'll just be a pretty day.
No call off work, which I really wouldn't complain about, as long as I can get out and play in it.
It's like that.
Yeah. So, well, I guess we'll see, though, because I don't know. You know, we went from barely getting anything to now we're upwards of an inch. Like you said, 2.5 inches in Gaffney, so there ain't no telling at this point.
I've lived in Georgia. They kind of predicted like they are now, and then 22 inches later, it was all over with.
Take it with a grain of salt. So I'm usually pretty pessimistic about it, and then if it gets better, then I get surprised. So,
in Greer, they're pretty sure that it's going to do something. It's usually a little bit more here in Greer. For whatever reason, it seems like it's a little colder here.
Yeah, you get, you know, you see the I-85 separation for a lot of stuff, and it doesn't really make sense. You're not talking a huge amount of distance, and you'll get where areas north of 85 will get more of something, and you get south of 85, and they don't hardly get anything.
I seen it just the opposite. South got a bunch, and the north didn't get anything.
See, the last year, year before last, I got a cousin, I got family that lives down in Union, and I don't think Spartanburg, Greenville-Spartanburg area hardly got anything, and Union got hammered pretty hard.
It's all pot luck, right?
Exactly. Just jumping in the truck, and I was on my way home, and y'all were having a really good round table. Home yesterday, I jumped in the truck, and I heard y'all on the radio, and y'all had a pretty good round table going.
Hey, you should have jumped on in there. Hey, last 3 or 4 days been really good.
Yeah, it was actually going really well. You know, most people kind of talk on top of each other. I was really surprised at how it was going. I was just trying to listen to it, and it was just neat to kind of hear how y'all were handling it, in all honesty. Everybody's kind of calling the next person to go.
Enjoy it like that.
Getting ready to jump in, I was just going to holler, and then somebody else got in. I'm like, okay, so I was just listening.
You forget to give a break for somebody else to jump in there.
Get on there. It seems a lot in the evening. Man, they some people, it just, man, they'll talk your head off on the way home.
I'm in here for, you know, 45 minutes, and it really helps me stay awake, you know, with the sun shining in my eyes and squinting and everything, and it helps me stay awake to, you know, get home, makes the ride a lot better off.
And, I can't remember his name. I think his name's Dave or David or something like that, and he's got the airplane. I was talking to him on the way home one day and just talking about that, and I grew up, my dad used to do that, and that was just a lot of fun to kind of hear about all those, his airplane and everything.
That one, I don't think.
He bit in the evenings. I've heard him, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock, maybe sometime a little bit later, you'll hear him. I know one guy that calls the net, he was talking about flying planes yesterday. But there's some other guy, he was talking about he'd order one off, I don't remember if it was Craigslist or whatever, and me and him chatted about that all the way home, and that was pretty crazy, because I used to love flying like the string planes, and he was talking about remote control planes.
I used to work with, he moved to Tennessee now, but man, he's big time into that, you know, where it's got a 6-foot wingspan and everything, and man, this guy is awesome. He can fly it upside down and all kinds of stuff.
Nate, we went to, there's a place down in Woodruff, I guess it would be. I forgot the name of it now, but it's an airfield, and they bring down planes and stuff. So from real planes to remote control planes, and we went down from there for scouts a year or two ago, and they had guys out there with those planes, and they're huge, massive planes, and they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff with them. And they actually have ponds set up there just so the guys can skim the pond, and that's why they spent like millions of dollars just to put these ponds in.
Those guys really got the skill. I can't even fly a little bitty tiny remote helicopter there at the house. But my buddy, man, he's really good on a helicopter.
Helicopters take some good stuff. I mean, you got to be skilled, because it's not just, it's not like a plane. You know, plane, you know, you got your elevators and your rudder and your ailerons, all that good stuff. But, you know, a helicopter, you know, it's a lot more complicated at the end of the day.
He'd love a flying when he was a paratrooper.
And it just, you know, gives you something to do. I've always wanted one. I've never pulled the trigger on something like a helicopter or one of the real nice planes. I've always had the little cheap string planes growing up.
To learn on an expensive one, but then, you know, the expensive ones react a lot better than the cheaper ones.
And it went, you know, like people go to like these Milliken fields and stuff. And man, one guy, I guess he lost signal and he ran his plane straight into a tree. The thing just come apart. I'm like, golly, I bet that sucked. And I didn't realize then, at that age, how much those things cost.
One of those things can't be real good, I wouldn't think. I wouldn't think you'd get over about 10 minutes, would you?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't imagine. I mean, it's I don't know how big the tank on them could be. I mean, I like I said, I always did the little string planes, and they got a teeny tiny little little tank on them. So, I mean, you just fly for a couple minutes, but it's just enough because you're getting dizzy anyway. So, I don't know about the bigger planes, and now they got them that run off a battery, so who knows?
That'd be heavy.
All right, Ken, well, I got to jump off here. I got to head on into work. So hopefully you have a great day at work. 7-3s to you, and hopefully we'll catch you on another morning. So KO4CES, and I'll be clear on your final.
So you have a good day, and drive careful tomorrow morning, and we'll hopefully catch you in the morning. KN4TFW.